We will be in Mark 1:35 today. We've been working through the book of Mark, or not through, we've been looking at the Gospels in a chronological way, and we've been in Mark the last few weeks. And today we come in, we know it's a Sunday for Jesus, and we know it's a Sunday because we know what we talked about last week was on the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue, and if you remember, He began to teach, and there was somebody filled with an evil spirit, and the evil spirit cried out and acknowledged that he was the Son of God and the Holy One of God, and Jesus rebuked him. He came out of the man. The people were amazed. They went out and told everybody about him, and the service was over. Jesus went home with Peter and Andrew, and who were brothers, and John and James went with them, and they get there, and Peter's mother-in-law is ill. She has a fever. And so Jesus, he heals her, and she immediately gets up and begins, I guess, the preparations of feeding her family and taking care of things. And what we know about the Jewish Sabbath is it goes from sundown to sundown. And right when evening came, when the sun set, all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, and what the scriptures say, it was like the whole city was there. And they had all heard about what Jesus had done, and that Jesus, what he was capable of, and the power that was there. And so now here Jesus, at the end of the day, when we're taking our shoes off, putting our slippers on, getting into the easy chair and sitting back and putting on our news or whatever you like to do, and all of a sudden, the whole city is there, and they're bringing their sick, they're bringing those that are demon-possessed, and so Jesus is getting to work again. And so he's healing them, he's casting out demons, and then finally, it doesn't say how late they stayed. The whole city is that's a lot of people. It was Capernaum. It was a fishing village, but I imagine it was more than just a dozen. So he had a busy night, and so we find him the next morning. We know, again, the Jewish Sabbath is a Saturday, so we know it's a Sunday morning, and Jesus is getting up to pray. And let's pray, and then we'll read from Mark 1:35. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the record of the life of your Son, that we have the opportunity to study it individually, the opportunity to study it together. And I pray, Lord, that you would cultivate our hearts and our minds to whatever your Holy Spirit has for us, each one of us, and also us as a church today. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in Mark verse 35, just one verse today that we're going to at least expound upon. It says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, so some of us know how early that is, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. So Jesus Christ, he gets up, he had a late night. We know we had a late night. We know people were knocking on his door. We didn't read that passage, but I encourage you to do so. We went through verse 28 last week together, and 29 through 34 shares about his evening. I just shared about that with you verbally, but I encourage you to always check on the things that are shared by me or anybody else that would proclaim the word of God or say that they are doing so. But we see that Jesus got up and prayed. And we're going to look at just some specific things about Jesus' prayer. The first thing that we're going to look at today is, when did Jesus pray? I mean, it just says right there, right in the beginning, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Jesus took the time to pray. Why the early morning? It was the first part of the day. And when you read throughout the Old Testament, when you read throughout the Scriptures, there is something about the first fruits. There is an importance and an emphasis about giving that which is first to God. It is prioritizing Him. It is trusting Him. It is giving Him everything about your, in this aspect about praying for the day. Again, it's in this word prayer, what is pray? We can ask that question too. What does it mean to pray? It's to address God in adoration and supplication and thanksgiving and also confession. Oftentimes we need to confess. And it's just simply, to put it in a simple way, it's just talking to God about everything. God, you are awesome. God, I have failed you. I repent. Lord, help me through this. Lord, you know the challenges that I have today, and we know that Jesus prioritized it. Now, some of us, I've heard in the past, and not that I'm judging, and is that some of us, we have our prayer time or our devotion time, we may call it that, in the evening. Some of us have it in the morning, and some people are maybe night owls, and some are early birds. But there is something that of prioritizing God and being that the first thing, wake up, good morning, Lord, here I am, Lord, I praise you, Lord, here's my day, Father, help me, guide me in this. And that is exactly what Jesus, that we find Jesus doing. He is praying early in the morning, super early. The crows hadn't roostered yet, but the roosters, probably I haven't even roostered, have crowed yet, and it's early. Jesus knows his need for God, and he's worshiping him through this prayer. We see again, when did Jesus pray? First thing, he made God a priority in his life. And then and it shows us here in this one verse just so much, where did Jesus pray? It says in verse 35 that Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went to a secluded place. Now, we think about our house, and our house is probably segmented. We have a den or a living space, and then we have bedrooms, and some of you even have rooms in your home that you've designated as a prayer closet, a place where you can get away from everybody else, not because you don't love them, but because you want to prioritize the Lord and you want to pray to him. And that's what Jesus did. You have to understand the houses that they lived in were mainly just one bedroom, just one big bedroom. And so Jesus excused himself from this room full of people, and he was got to a secluded place to where it was just him and God. Oh, because, just imagine the distractions. So many distractions can happen. And in the same way, we too, how do we prioritize God, and how do we get in that place where it's just us and God, and we're praying and we're seeking him and we're clearing our mind of all things? Next we see, and we go through here, and we don't really see this, but we can ask it from it. So it shows us when Jesus prayed, first thing in the morning. It shows where Jesus prayed, in a secluded place. We don't know if it was, exactly where it was, if it was behind some buildings, if it was in a field, if it was by a tree line, if it was, behind some rocks, or he was in a place where it was just him and God. But another question we can ask for this is, why did Jesus pray? Why did Jesus pray? We just talked about the why is important, and why did Jesus pray? I think first, and what we find in Scripture, is first there's a relationship there. And I'm going to read some Scriptures, and I'm going to go ahead and give you all three of these points that comes under three. There's a relationship there, there's a responsibility there, and then there's just a reality that life is hard, and that we cannot do the things of God without God. And so I want to read of some Scriptures. I'm going to go to John, and you can follow me there, or you can write them down. I have them bookmarked, so I'm going to read a little quickly, but I encourage you to write them down in the notes section of your bulletin, so you can go and follow me up on these. First, John 15, verses 9 and 10. What do we find in John 15, verses 9 and 10? It says there, Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says here. He says, just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We see there's a relationship going on between God the Son and God the Father. They loved one another. And because they loved one another, there was also this responsibility that Jesus had that we have as well, that if we love him, we'll keep his commands. Is it about obedience? No, it's about relationship, and that we got to trudge through this world for whatever. Well, we know what the reason is. It's back in Genesis 3. There's separation. There's sin in this world, and that we have now, we have been set apart to follow God through Jesus Christ. And so there is this relationship, and so he is praying because he loves God the Father. Let's read a couple other scriptures that are in the same area. Let's look at 14:31. Chapter 14, verse 31, where Jesus, again, he's speaking here. He says, "But so that the world would know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me." So here there is this love. So the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly what he commands me. There is this responsibility that I have because I love him. Because I love him, I want to be a part of what he's doing. And so Jesus prayed again because of relationship and responsibility. Lord, how do you want me to do, to act, to lead, to preach, to proclaim, to be an example of? And we can keep going on in this situation. And we also see in verse 17, 26, two pages over, and roughly where he's at the end of his prayer, Jesus is still speaking here, where he speaks to the Lord, and he says, "I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." There's a relationship. Again, prayer is a big word that can blow our mind, that we get afraid of doing in front of people or doing this or that. But it's simply just talking to God. And the main reason that Jesus was talking to God, well, he was God, but we find an example in Scripture, there's a relationship. God loved him, and he loved God. I tell you, friend, God loves you. God loves you regardless of who you are, what you've done. God loves you. And in the same way, he asks us to love him. You know, people have mentioned to me before, "Well, Pastor, I've heard this, and it really bothers me." And I've shared it before. I don't know when and where. It was in here, but I don't know when. So if just entertain me if you've heard it before. Where they said, "You know, you do this because you're the pastor." And it's like in order for us to pray, in the order for us to worship, there's some different level of being of professional status. There's not at all. Not at all. And my response to him, because it really struck me and it really bothered me. It was like there's an excuse for the church not to worship their God who loves them, is because they're not a pastor. They're not a professional saint or whatever that looks like. It usually looks like you're messing something up. That's what it usually looks like. But what I shared to him, I said, I don't pray because I am the pastor. I'm not in the Word of God because I'm the pastor. I think I'm the pastor because I was in the prayer and I was in the Word of God. I wasn't called until I was 32 years old. And how I knew that, as I was reading through the Bible for the first time, came to Isaiah 6:8. And he's in the throne room of God in the midst of this vision, and God and the cherubim, they're all there, and they said, "Who will we send?" And Isaiah, right there in the midst of it, he said, "Lord, send me." And I tell you, the Holy Spirit hit me so hard in the midst of that. I was not in ministry at this time. I was just seeking God. I wrote this down as we were saying in a day. This is the difference between somebody who prays and seeks the Lord and somebody who doesn't. It's not a profession. It's not a calling. There is no class in seminary that teaches you how to pray. There isn't. There isn't at all. And I wrote that down, and we just sung it in one of the songs, the second song that we sang. It says, "Now my heart's desire is to know you more." Remember, Josh just led us in that. My heart's desire, I'm trying to find the tune, but I don't have it. My heart's desire, we won't do it. But our heart's desire is to know you more. Why was Jesus praying? Why was he up? Because of a relationship that he had with the living and loving God, that he was seeking him. And in the same way, we are driven to pray by our heart's desire to know him more. Well, Lonnie, you just don't know how busy that I am. I don't have time to get up early and pray. Friend, then again, you don't know our God. Don't know our God. I can't remember who wrote it. A lot of people have bounced it around, and so, but the author is like maybe Luther or something. But I've read this before, where he talks about I get up each morning and I pray at least an hour, and then on the days that I don't have time to do that, I get up and pray for 2 hours. Oh, we need him. We shouldn't. Oh, I just need the Lord. Oh, because of that relationship that we have. That relationship that we know that God loves us and we love him, and because we love him and because we desire to know him more, there should be a yearning there. And sometimes, friend, that yearning is not going to be there. You are going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to have so much going on. So many things are distracting you. You're not going to feel like it, but still you get up and say, Lord, I love you and I'm here. And then guess what? You tell him, Lord, I don't feel this. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, take these thoughts captive. Lord, help me in the midst of this. Jesus prayed because there was a relationship there. He prayed because there was responsibility. We read some of that in some of the passages, but still being in the book of John, I want to read two more passages to you. First is 5, from John 5, verses 19 and 21. Where he writes here in 19, says he's having a discussion, and he says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, here's some of you flipping, that's good, I'll wait, where Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the like manner. For the Father knows the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. So again, there is a responsibility, and God and Jesus is saying, hey, I didn't come with my own agenda, not my own choice. I'm going to do this. God bless what I am doing. He's saying, hey, the Father has something to do, and I do only what he does. And how did he know that? Those early morning prayers. Oh, God, here I am. God, this is on the schedule today. I think here, and just as the sun's coming up, I think more people are going to be coming. Help me out with this. But there's a responsibility that we have and a relationship that we have, and we cannot fulfill those things that God has for us if we are not a people who get up and pray first thing in the morning. In verse John 6, I want to look at that passage, John 6, verse 38. Again, Jesus is talking again. These are all been red letter things that I've read to you. In John 6, 38, a page or two over, it said, where Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So again, Jesus is praying. He's praying because of a relationship. Imagine somebody that you have a relationship with. One of the ones that just comes to in our culture, think about a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a child even. I mean, we speak to them as often as we can. And the reality is our God is with us at all times, and we can reach out and we can pray to him. It comes again back to our desire. And friend, if we've gone week after week after week after week and we have yet to pray, I wonder, where is our relationship with our Lord and with our God? Jesus says, I love him and he loves me, and I come to do his will. And then we're looking at right under this, why did Jesus pray? And his reality. It doesn't say this in the passage, but just from what we know of the physical form, Jesus was fully God, but he also was fully human. And we know this human physical body gets fatigued. He got up that morning, went to the synagogue, and he prayed. I mean, he preached, he taught, then he was confronted with an evil spirit. He cast that evil spirit out. He gets back to the house, think he's going to relax and eat a little bit. And then there's somebody else that needs to be healed. And then in the midst of the evening, when it's time to start going to bed, there's a knock at the door. And as we've already talked about, there is the whole city there bringing people to be healed. Jesus was physically exhausted. And then he knew there was more to do. And so I imagine in a way he was like, Lord, help me in this physical form to continue going on. And so there's a reality that he had a lot to do, and so he was fatigued. Do we know that exactly what he prayed? We don't know that, but I imagine that. And then another one is his mission. We're in verse 638 from John that we were just there. Hopefully you haven't turned back. But imagine his mission. Again, we just read that he's come down to heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The reality of what he was here for. Listen to this, verse 39 through 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing. He's talking about people, about souls, about salvation. And he says, but raise it up on the last day. And listen to this, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father. You've been wondering what the will of God is for your life? For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus had a huge mission that was going on, and he was praying because there was a relationship. There was praying because of his responsibilities, of seeing what the Lord wanted him to be about, and then the reality of the physical life on this earth and the reality of the mission that he had to bring the good news of a loving God and salvation through his Son. Oh, Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Brings us to the last part here is, what did Jesus pray? You know, there's absolutely no idea. I mean, he was by himself. It was early in the morning. It was in a secluded place. We just read verse 35 and verse 36. If you've ever gotten up early in the morning and you're a parent and you get to that quiet place, it's not very long where you hear a pitter-patter of little feet or somebody's knocking or somebody wants to get into your space. And he's one of his disciples says, Lord, there's people back at the door again. But what did Jesus pray? We don't know. But what do we see in Scripture? What do we see in Scripture? I imagine that he started off first with praising God, just saying, Lord, yesterday was awesome. We cast out a spirit, we restored a soul, and then we healed Peter's mom. And because of that, I know my disciples were strengthened, they were encouraged, that they grew in their faith because of what they saw me do. And Lord, did you see all the people? They came, Lord, the word about you, the word about what you're doing in me is out, is being spread. Your plan, Lord, the plan that you established is coming into effect. People came, we healed more people, we cast out more spirits. Lord, your work is beginning in just in the way that you planned. Father, I thank you. I thank you. What we know about men in this time that they would raise their hands in prayer. I bet he was secluded, and I pray there. I bet there's a part where he would just raise his hands before the Lord. And we know that what the Hebrew form of blessing his name is means bending the knee. And I imagine that his knees were bent, and he was before the Lord, praising him, thanking him. But and we know that Jesus knew a whole lot more than what we know. And then I imagine he says, Lord, I know they're coming again. Lord, fill me. Fill me, prepare me, Lord, to do your work, to do your will of bringing salvation to this world. And imagine he prayed for protection of his disciples. We see him doing that, especially in John 17. And so he prayed about all things. He prayed about whatever was on his mind and heart. And it is true with us too. What do we pray about? First, we should be making him a priority every morning. But Pastor, I get up earlier and I can't get up anymore. What are you going to prioritize? Well, I got to work, okay? Well, what are you going to worship? Giving the Lord just a few minutes of talking to him. But I pray when I drive. Well, friend, that might be a little distracted. It's good. I pray when I drive too. But there's just something about when we set apart that time before the Lord to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for helping me through. Lord, this is all that I got on today. Lord, what is your will in the midst of what I have today? Lord, I am your servant. How can I fulfill your will of living a life of a saint today, of one who has been saved? And Lord, how can I be a part of the mission you want to do in the world by encouraging somebody through my words, through my actions, through my deeds? Help me live an authentic life that shows the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, it's about, and if nothing else, it starts with relationship. If it's nothing else, if you're just saying, just take that minute. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Help me even love you even more today. If it's something just so simple, it doesn't have to be professional. It doesn't have to be in front of people. It's just your heart desiring to know him more and your heart connecting with him by simply talking to the Lord. As we wrap up today in the big idea is a simple one. All big ideas ought to be simple. The big idea is we talk to people we love. And people who love God talk to God. I encourage you, friend, I tell you, we talk to the people that we love, and if we don't, we hurt their feelings. Imagine, I mean, just thinking about being a husband and your wife, if your wife isn't talking to you, you know something ain't right. And ladies, if your husband's not talking to you, or if your children's not talking, and all of us, if our children's not talking to us, or if our neighbor's not talking to us, or our coworkers are not talking to us, something is wrong. And there's usually two responses that we have. It's for you, we're not going to talk to them. Or we pray for them, or we reach out to them and say, hey, you know, what have I done, and what's going on? How can I help you? And but the reality is where there's healthy relationship, there's conversation. And so we talk to the people we love. And if we truly love God, because he truly loves us, then we're going to talk to him. There's no form. There's no professional way to do it. You don't have to be called to ministry. It's just simply a desire to know him more and in loving him and saying, good morning, Lord, I love you, here I am. I encourage you, if you do not have a practice of a morning, just seeking him, I encourage you to try that simple prayer and just see how your day changes. Now watch out for the enemy too, that's a whole nother sermon. But just to honor him, good morning, Lord. Lord, here I am. I love you. Help me love you more. And God will be faithful in his part. Not saying that's all that we have to do. It's just a challenge that I bring to help you in that first step. And help you in that first step. Well, as Josh is coming, I'm going to pray for you. Friend, I want you to pray for you too. I'm struggling in my heart because I know that most of us don't pray. You're like, Pastor, how can you know that? You're not in the secluded place with me. Because this is what we just read about and what we talked about. When there's authenticity, you know. you just know, you sense, it comes out of who we are. And so many of us, we come each and every week, and we're fulfilling our role in our culture or however you've been brought up to be in church, because that's what we do. That's what daddy did. Mom would roll over in her grave if we didn't show up, and you'd feel guilty if you weren't here or whatever. But where's your relationship? Where's your relationship with God is what I'm talking about. Do you truly desire to know him more? I mean, think about, you've been here, we've sung songs, you've heard scripture read. Has there been other things on your mind? Is that like every day? I just want to encourage you, where is your relationship with the Lord? We may need to repent and say, Lord, I've just been busy. Lord, I haven't thought of it that way. Lord, I know you saved me so many years ago, and so I've just taken it for granted or whatever. But I know we don't pray. I know we don't pray. Why? Because we don't see the example and the fulfillment of it. I know we're not in the Word. I mean, you talk about having to pray in front of people and, Pastor, you know how to do it and this or that. I mean, listen to things that I pray. They're mostly from God's Word. We're not a people in His Word. We're not a people of prayer. And the will for God's life is for us to love Him and to know Him more and to make Him known. And we know that's not happening. And so how long, church, how long are we going to continue just to show up? How long are we only going to think about Him on Sunday mornings, and we put more of our thought in what we're going to wear, how our hair looks, if our shoes are shined, or whatever your morning thing is? How long? How long are we going to continue to ignore Him who loves you, who loves us? I tell you what, we will not be the church. You may be in a place that you've come accustomed to call the church, but we will not be the church until we come and be a people who pray and seek Him in His Word and have a desire to know Him more. Well, are you hungry? Are you hungry for Him? I tell you, this hourly service will not fulfill all that you need as a follower of Christ. It will never, ever, ever satisfy you and equip you to be the disciple that He's called you to be. He loves you. Talk to Him. He loves you. Desire to know Him more and to be in His Word. Oh, He says, well, we just read it. Because I love Him, I keep His commands. And if you love me, you'll keep my commands too. Friend, do you love Him? Do you know His commands? Are you in His Word? Are you praying to Him? I challenge you today, repent. To repent.